Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is brought to you by Lightstream, the nation's premier online consumer lender. Lightstream offers low-interest fixed-rate loans from $5,000 to $100,000 for practically any purpose. It's also brought to you by our newest Patreon members, Lindsay Schneider, Galen C., and Colleen Balch. I hope I said that right. Yay, you three. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I love you. I couldn't do this without you. I am so grateful to all of you and Lightstream for making this show a possibility. I really am.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Romaine.
Hi, Jamie.
How are you?
I am actually very well, thank you. I'm so thrilled to be joining you here on this award-winning podcast.
Why, thank you, Romaine, and I'm so glad you called it award-winning, because yes. As you know, we did steal it from you two times.
Yes. You did, in fact, steal awards from me twice. I'm not bitter about it, obviously, because I'm here showing my support and love for you.
Listen, truth be told, I couldn't do all of the shit that I've just gone through in the past year without you and your help and your guidance. And if anybody doesn't know who Romaine is, which I think even living under a rock, if you're a listener of this podcast and you don't know who Romaine is, but Romaine is the star, the co-star of the DNR show. So if you haven't listened to their podcast, go check it out. Romaine will tell you where to find it all.
Yeah. So I host a little show called Derek and Romaine, DNR for short. And you can find us online at dnrstudios.com. Not only will you find my show there, which is also award-winning, and we might have a few more awards than you, but we also host a bunch of other amazing queer podcasts on our network at dnrstudios.com. And we encourage everyone to go over and check them out.
Yeah, they're all good, including ours. We're there.
Yes,
we're over there.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, so go check them out. But Romaine, tell us what's going on in your life besides the fact that you have been my lifesaver for the past 6 months.
I have to say, first of all, it's been truly a lot of fun working with you and helping you navigate some of the technical fun that is podcasting being an entrepreneur and creating your own show and everything that goes into it. I don't think listeners always understand how much goes into a single episode of a show, but it is an enormous amount of technical work and physical work and editing. So I'm thrilled to be able to help you guys do that here on this show. It's made me very happy. But I think the last time I was on your show, it's been a minute. My wife and I were trying to get pregnant again with our second child because we currently have a teenager.
Yep.
So we tried that for a hot minute and we did not have much success.
No.
And I have to tell you, at first I was like, oh, man, I really want another child. Mm-hmm. And then as we kept going through the process and it kept not working, I kept thinking, maybe the universe is telling us something. Maybe our life is really great as it is. Because, you know, we have this teenager. We only have a few more years.
I know.
And then she's hopefully out of my house. And then Iris and I can, like, you know, be in some of the prime years of our lives alone, together, enjoying things like travel. We love to travel. And I just kept thinking, are we going to be able to travel if we have a baby?
No. No. I mean, some people do it.
I mean, you can, but it's so hard.
So hard. It's not the kind of vacation you want. No, it's not.
Yeah. And so as time went on in our trials, I just got to the point where I was like, you know what? As much as I want this, I don't know if I want this. Like, I had like a real change of heart midway through.
Interesting. I'll tell you what, though. I do recall that y'all were going to use the explosive dildo for this.
Yes.
That's totally what it's called. What is it called?
The pop dildo. Have some fun adventures with the pop dildo.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
There were some misadventures, I should say.
But you really did use it?
Oh, we used it.
Holy
shit. It was actually, it was fun to use. There were definitely some learning curves there. But we did use it. It was a lot of fun. I mean, listen, we gave it our best efforts trying to get knocked up again.
And you got to do it like the quote unquote old fashioned way.
Yeah. And in a way, I actually really liked that experience. Like, I found that to be, I thought the intimacy of it as partners, especially partners who've been together for a really long time.
Yeah.
I thought there was something really nice about that versus like the sterile going to the reproductive endocrinologist and doing it in the office. So I really did enjoy the process of trying to get pregnant for the second time. That was definitely fun. And we had a lot of laughs along the way.
Sure. Oh my God. At the end, you could be like, you just put a baby in me. Like,
right. Well, you tried.
You tried.
I told Iris her aim was off and she was really not very good at it. But, you know, not everybody is.
Oh, my God. For all you who don't know out there and who might be trying, the pop dildo is this thing that literally shoots the sperm up for you while you're doing it.
So it's got like a little catheter that kind of goes all the way up through the center of the dildo. And then there's like a specialized tip at the end and it has like a little plunger bulb. And so you can be having sex and you'd be fucking. And then when it's time for the orgasm, you just press that little plunger and it's in you just like if you were having heterosex, I suppose.
That is amazing. You know,
lots of lesbians have used it to get pregnant, and pretty much anyone with a vagina. Lots of success using it. In fact, the inventor of it was a lesbian,
really?
And she used it to get pregnant with her wife. I think they used it successfully a few times.
Wow. And I haven't talked to anybody who's done this, or they have not told us this. 200 episodes, Romaine.
It definitely works for some people. It didn't work for us, but that's okay. Like, I'm not sad about it. Now that we have shot our loads, as it were, and we tried, I feel really fine with the outcome. We're fine. Our child is wonderful. We love our child mostly. And, you know, I mean, she's a teenager. Whew, teenagers are an adventure.
I'm not ready. But okay, wait. We're going to get into that because our guests have to do with teenager land. But before we do that, I have to tell everybody I am adding something new to my very full schedule of things that I'm going to be doing. And this is my plan. I am going to be doing Patreon weekly shoot the shit sessions. That's what I'm titling it. Shoot the shit. And on Thursdays, I'm going to join all you Patreon members. We're going to have a video. We're going to have a live chat. And you can bring all your questions about that week's episode to me or just any questions you want. But I feel
that's fun.
Yeah. So I'm going to be doing that. That's going to start Thursday. So get ready, y'all. And if you're not a member of Patreon, you better get over there and join. That's what I have to tell you right now. But anyway, okay. Let's talk about our guests. The interview that I'm bringing in for y'all today. Emma and Delia, mother and teenage daughter. Okay. So here's the lowdown. Emma is a listener who reached out to tell her story. She's a queer mom, but she came out later in life after one of them, non-queer marriages where she popped out a couple of kids. And then she discovered her lesbian side, as you do. Then she fell in love with a lesbian and da-da-da. And now it's a blended family. Okay, but the amazing, amazing, amazing part. And it's a really great story. And her love story is the cutest thing ever. But the amazing part is that her teenage daughter, Delia, joined. And this ep is so good. Have you, Romaine, I need to ask you, because you're a mother of a teenager.
Yeah.
Have you had the birds and the bees talk with your teenage daughter? And is it different? Because it's different in this little family. It's a little different.
Okay. So my kid knows way more about sex and sexuality than any child her age does.
Yeah.
And part of it is, so I do sex education stuff as part of my radio show. And so I've always been a big believer in like honesty about sex education. Like we never called it her flower, her vagina.
Right.
We never called it her little flower or anything. None of that nonsense names. Like you have a vagina, boys have penises. Ever since she was itty bitty, we've talked very honestly about her body and I don't want her to feel any shame about her body. So we're very sex positive.
Same as Emma.
But also, my poor child, my child would tell you that I'm wildly inappropriate in front of her with the way we talk. And for instance, we do every Sunday morning, we go down to our neighbor's house. We have a straight couple that lives down behind us at a little farm, and we have coffee on the farm every Sunday morning. It's a lovely little thing we do. And Romy often joins us. She pours her coffee. She goes down for coffee at the farm. But the conversation at coffee at the farm can be very adult in nature. For instance, the farmer's wife really wanted her firefighter of a husband to come home wearing his firefighter gear. That was a fantasy for her that she expressed during coffee.
I mean, if you're going to have a man in uniform, take advantage, right?
Right.
I guess.
So we expressed to this fireman, farmer man, that he needed to do this. And he didn't. And he didn't. And he didn't. Until finally my child shamed him and just said, "You just need to wear the bunker gear already. What's taking you so long?" Fast forward 3 days, and the lady farmer posts on her social media a picture of the crumpled fireman outfit on the floor and just said, "Thank you, Romy.
Oh, my God.
For finally making my dreams come true." Yeah, my kid knows a lot about
sex.
Like, she's the kid at school that everyone comes to because she knows. And she also knows that if she has any question, and she has had a couple doozies over the years, she will come to me and say, "Mom, I need to know what a blowjob is."
Oh, God.
And I'll be like, "Okay, let's talk about what a blowjob is." And I'll just very matter of fact, I don't make it a big deal. Like, here's what it is. So, yeah, we have very open conversations about sex in our house.
Well, it sounds a lot like the guests that are just about to come in for this interview, Emma and Delia. Delia schools the kids in school about, like, they come to her or she'll be like, "Oh my God, you know nothing." Like, it's so funny. So this interview was really fun and I just had so much fun with the two of them. So I think we need to, without further ado, it's time to have Helen and Beulah, my lovely, beautiful assistants, who are really getting along very nicely and being very nice to me lately, roll that tape. So we're going to say, roll the tape, Helen and Beulah. Roll that tape.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Wait, Helen, stop. Before you roll that tape, I need to mention one thing. I have to mention Patreon. If you all like this show and you want to keep hearing these super important LGBTQIA+ family stories, you can help. You can join my Patreon community. I've got various tiers on the page starting at just $2 a month. You're going to do a good thing and you're going to get bonus content like videos of most episodes dropped a day early, crazy behind the scenes shenanigans of yours truly trying to get it together, and anything else I can think of to keep you all entertained and engaged. You're just going to head to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast to join. And a huge, 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 huge thank you to all you Patreons who are already supporting this show. It means the world to me. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much. Okay. All right. Helen and Beulah, please roll that tape.
The Queer Family Podcast.
Hi, Emma and Delia.
Hi.
Hi.
It is so very wonderful to have you here with my ovaries. I've been very excited to talk to the two of you. So before we really get into it, why don't we just have you explain who you are with your 30-second elevator pitch. Tell the audience what they need to know. On your mark, get set, go.
I'm Emma. I'm married to Monica. We have raised and are almost done raising two beautiful human beings, the youngest of which is here with me today. We are a blended family. Additionally, I am a psychotherapist. I see couples and individuals. I work at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and I do home studies for a second parent and international and domestic adoptions in New York State.
Boom. That was bomb. That was great. Congratulations.
Yeah, so perfect.
First of all, I just want to say it's so exciting for us to have Delia, you here, because, you know, we always talk to parents. We talk to the queer parents in families, but we very rarely get to talk to the children and get your takes on everything. So this is a super special treat for us. And I'm so excited to hear what you have to say about your mom and your other mom.
Yeah.
And your whole extended family.
I am Mama, and my wife is Mamaka.
Oh, that's cute. I like that. Who came up with that? How did that come up?
I don't know. I think I just started her calling her that, and then my brother and I had a disagreement on how we would spell it.
Yeah, they spell it differently.
Now we agree. We finally.
How do you spell it?
Agreed. I spell it Momica. So I just replaced the N in Monica with an M to make it Mamaka. But initially, I spelled it Mama, and then like ICA.
That's what I would have thought, Mama. And I'm Mama to my kids. All right, so Delia, you have an older brother. How old is your brother?
He's 18. He's a freshman in college.
And how old are you?
That's crazy to say.
That's crazy, right?
He's 18. See, I'm an adult. 18 and a half.
He's 18 and a half. I'm a junior in high school. I'm 16. Junior.
Those are the golden years. Remember these years.
Parents out there, 6 to 10 is the golden years of parenting, 6 to 11.
Okay.
But then about 16 again, it gets really great.
It gets better. Okay. Yeah, good to know.
It gets hard. Younger than when we were kids, we were terrors, I think, at like 17, 16, 17.
Right.
And now their terror is much younger, and then they land. And so you have a few years that are nice before you send them away. But she never had that.
I was. I was just a golden child my whole childhood. Well, let's take it all the way back to the beginning. Yeah. How did this all start?
So I was married prior to Monica. I was married to their dad. Mm-hmm. And I got married pretty young, and we were married a long time. And then we divorced when they were like 5 and 7. And a little bit after that, I went to a wedding of my very oldest best friend ever in Mexico. And because she's my oldest friend, I always knew I was going to go, but I like didn't know until, you know, got closer if I was going to go as a family, if we were going to go as a couple, or if I was going to need this time to myself. So I went by myself, and it was great. And that's where I met Monica. And I didn't go looking for this at all. I mean, I kind of thought like this can be a lot of fun, but it's also a destination wedding. And so if you make a mistake, you're stuck there, you know? So I was like, but I saw her and everything sort of like froze. Time sort of froze. I think about like that movie Sleeping Beauty, when there was like that green kind of mist, and I was like compelled. I was like, this person looks very interesting. And so I went over there and I like, you know, I put my hand on her and I made meaningful eye contact. That's the secret. physical contact, intentional physical contact and meaningful eye contact. I tell my clients that all the time. And I offered to.
I can tell that, Delia, you've heard this before.
That's how it works. I asked if she wanted some ice, and she was intrigued, and we started talking, and we had a great time. And then after the weekend, you know, my friend who got married, my friend was like, I don't know if you're ever going to see her again. I was like, well, I know how wedding hookups go.
Oh, was it a hookup?
Well, I mean, we hooked up, yes, at the wedding, but you know, she also didn't live in New York. She lived in Seattle. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, well, I live in New York. She lives in Seattle. You know, well, maybe if I go to Seattle, I'll see my friend, I'll see her again. Or if she comes to New York for work, I'll see her again. But then I got back, and a couple weeks later, I got this like message from some sort of tablet service assistant person, an email that said, hello, like Monica will be in town this weekend. Please clear your schedule. Please make arrangements, meet her here, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this is a baller move. I was like, this is very good. So I, well, it wasn't my weekend. So I like left and I went and met her in the city. And then we had a great time together. And then we sort of said, we're going to try to see each other once a month. But we both were like, we don't have long distance in us forever. Mm-hmm. And so we decided that we would do this for a year, and then we would either break up or she has to move because the kids were here and established. So shortly, pretty soon in, she was like, yeah, let's do this for real. And I was like, okay, let's do this. So then she moved to New York, but I wouldn't let her live. She didn't live with us. She didn't move in with us. I made her move all the way here. And I was like, uproot your whole life, get a new job, figure everything out, but like live on your own.
Let's take it slow. You did the opposite.
I had a lot of coming out to do, and I was going to do it right. So I did it right. So, you know, many, many months in, I told the kids about her, but they didn't know her. When she would come visit, they didn't see her. And then when she moved here, they met her, but like she would come for dinner and then she would go. And then my ex had some tough times. And so I was living in the apartment that we were living in, and it had to be sold. So I was like, oh, shoot. So then we all moved in with her, not my ex, just the kids and me. And we moved in with her. And then she and I found a more permanent place to move into. Then we decided to get married. And here we are. Delia walked us down the aisle. It's really great. Yes. It's really great.
Okay. This is amazing. Yeah. My first question to you, Emma, is I'm going to use a technical term here. Had you had lesbianic relations before Mama?
No. So no. Looking back on my life, first of all, like my friends in high school, they were all gay. My friends in college, they were gay. No girl ever made a move at me. I don't know why, but never, never. So I think it could have been sped up had that happened. But when I was really, really young in elementary school, my best friend was this girl whose wedding I was at in Mexico, who is also married to a woman. And she was my best friend in elementary school. And the other kids, girls were not nice to me. It was overwhelming. I wasn't good at the, you know, this is back in the day when we had like three-way calling and there was all that, right? And it was like, I wasn't savvy. I couldn't negotiate it. I never had the right clothes. I didn't have the right jeans. You know, I have curly hair. It took me 100 years to learn how to have good curly hair. Like I just didn't have it together and girls were not nice. So basically I sort of like shut them down. I had a couple good best friends, but I wasn't into girls at all. Like as friend, I just didn't trust them. I wasn't very close with them. And then I got to high school and I realized that boys are a one note song. They're easy, you know? And like, it's an easy way to get to get popular, to get companionship, to have a boyfriend gives you some status. Mm-hmm. And boys are so easy.
I can relate to that on a note. Like I dated guys in high school too, and even in college, just because it was like, no, I wasn't scared of guys. Like I was scared of girls. Like flirting with women is so scary for me, and it's such a different beast. You're right. But with guys, I can flirt with a guy, no problem. And I'm pretty sure, you know, and I'm not saying it has nothing to do with my physical being. I'm not saying I'm the hottest thing in the world, but like, it's not that hard to get them interested,
You got this going, like someone's going to be interested.
Pulse. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. You have a pulse. Someone's going to be interested. So boys, I felt like it was high stakes with girls. Now looking back, like there was a girl when I was in sixth grade, she was in the school play. She played Huck Finn.
Yeah.
And I was like,
oh. Yeah, she did.
And then, in high school I was on a swim team and there was a girl on the swim team that at first I was like, you know, there are girls that you want to be like them. And then there are girls that you want to be next to them. And you don't like really understand why that is. But that was definitely the case. And there was a girl in college, like a bartender, that I was like, why do I want to hang out at this bar all the time? Like, I don't understand it, but nothing. No.
Right.
No, nothing. Right. And when I saw her, you know, when I went on this trip, I thought I'm going to like at this lesbian wedding in Mexico, I was like, yeah, I'm going to meet a single guy. Like, I don't know what I was thinking.
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
I'm watching you talk and I'm watching Delia and I'm hearing how open you are about all of this. It's giving me hope. It's giving me life. It's all the stuff. But I want to hear Delia. I want to hear your take. Like, first, let's take it way back. Do you remember the divorce at all? Do you have any recollections of that? And if I ask you anything that you're not comfortable answering, please tell me.
No, I have no sort of memory of that, really. I mean, I was really little, and it's just like, Monica has been a part of my life for, I have no idea how many years, but like more than half of my life, at least. Yeah, 10 years. So like, you know, it's like when I'm looking back on something, I'll be like, oh, Monica wasn't here. She was probably, you know, at home, or she was probably like, it was like, oh no, I didn't know her then. It just like doesn't ever occur to me that like there was a time before I knew her, just because I was so young, really.
Yeah. So then do you remember meeting Monica? Do you remember when Monica first came in, or is it all just kind of like,
I don't remember anything. I think really the first thing I remember is my birthday. She bought me a Razor scooter and a bag of rice. Because I really love rice. And
Delia loves rice.
She bought me a Razor scooter and a bag of rice.
Probably asked for that.
I'm sure I did, honestly.
When Delia was a kid, she would throw a fit every time at the deli for the little tiny boxes of Junior Mints that are 25 cents with like five. And finally, I bought her one. And she had a meltdown because she thought they were black beans. And they were
black.
There's chocolate.
There's chocolate.
And she was mad. The guy at the deli is like, what is your problem? And I was like, she didn't think they were chocolate. He's like, what did she think they were? I was like, black beans. And she's disappointed.
That's the first recollection, I guess, of her. But really, it just all mushed together.
I sat them down and I said, you know, I have a new friend in my life and she's very important. And, you know, some people have husbands or boyfriends and some people have girlfriends or wives. And this is a friend like a girlfriend and not a girlfriend like my other, you know, straight lady friends, but like a girlfriend. And so, you know, I'd like to tell you a little bit about her over time and may, you know, and then you'll meet her down the line. But you're very special to me. So it's not until I feel like she totally is, you know, special enough to meet you, but I, you know, we're headed that way. And they were like, okay, whatever. And then she left the room. And I said to her brother, I feel like Delia didn't get it. And he's like, it doesn't matter. And I said, it does. And he's like, no, it's fine. Don't worry. And I was like, okay. And then Monica came to town one day and we went to a very nice brunch with a bunch of her friends. And we took Delia, because she was like easy and fun to take places. She was the only kid. So she's sitting there eating like her fancy, ridiculous brunch in New York, New York kid. And they're talking, the other women at the table are talking about this book club that they were in. And one of them said, this book club with Monica. And she said, well, when you know, Monica's book club is very serious. You couldn't just love to read. You also had to be like kind of an intellectual. You had to like submit a writing sample. It was ridiculous.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't know if that's a book club for me.
Yeah. You couldn't just like to read. You had to be an intellectual and you had to be really like a thought. And Delia's sitting there and she sits up and she goes, well, and be a lesbian. And I was like, I guess she does get it.
Delia, do you remember?
No, I don't remember any of this. I'm like, no.
That's amazing. Yeah. So it seems to me like your whole recollection of all of this stuff that transpired, that was a really big deal to your mom. I mean, it's a big deal to all of a sudden come out and tell your kids, and you're just like, okay.
No, I don't really think I ever cared. I mean, I think little kids don't really care about those things.
Right. No. You'd hold her. And they're similar. Delia wore a lot of her brother's hand-me-downs, and she was sporty, and she is an athlete, and Monica was an athlete and a coach and whatnot. So they connected in a lot.
We have a very similar sense of humor, I think.
Yeah.
So you fit well.
That's true.
You fit together well. And I noticed that your mom is like really open about all kinds of things. Like she hooked up with Monica at the wedding.
This is the first I've ever heard of this, by the way.
I knew that's where they met.
I just never knew that. I knew the rest of the story, just not that part.
Someone doesn't fly across country to visit you if it, you know.
I don't know. It just never occurred to me. She's like, you're my mother. It doesn't ever occur to me to think of it like that, you know?
Okay. Not to make it awkward or anything, but
it's okay. Anything goes in our household.
Well, it was very funny. This is a story a little bit about that. Is when we were looking at, when we were getting married, we were looking at where we could go on a honeymoon. And, you know, some of the places that are okay during hurricane season are not great for the LGBT people to travel.
Yes.
So one of a friend of ours had visited St. Kitts. And so we looked it up on Wikipedia and I said, oh, in St. Kitts, it's illegal to be gay if you're a male, but not if you're a female. And so Delia was asking about that. And I said, well, they have laws on the books that are against things that gay men do together, that gay women don't do together. And so Delia said to me, so in St. Kitts, you're allowed to like drink wine and eat cheese. And I was like, yes.
Because that's what you and mom could do.
Yes, totally. Yeah. So then we had a birds and bees and a birds and birds.
In the middle of the park.
I trapped her in the park on a walk.
That.
A birds and bees, a birds and birds, a little bees and bees, a little bird by herself. We had a whole conversation.
I haven't had to do this yet. And now you just got me so scared. And you like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? So how do you do it? What just do? Wait, do you remember this, Delia? You remember this, right, yes, Delia?
I remember I was in the... Okay, I remember we were in the park.
Yeah.
I don't know where in the park, except every time I'm in the park, every so often, I'm like, maybe this was where. I don't know.
Prospect Park.
Yeah. I mean, the park's like 3 blocks from our house. I go there all the time. Mm-hmm. I was
sure I'm not the only person having this conversation in Prospect Park.
But there's probably a lot of people having this conversation in Prospect Park. Exactly.
We were in part of the park that was like a hill or something. We'd walked up all these stairs and we got to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, okay. I had to talk to you about something. And I was like, okay, whatever. And then
your way out.
She starts. And I was like, oh my God, I'm on the top of this hill. And I have to be listening to you explain this.
Oh,
and I'm stuck still in this park. And like, I don't think I had a phone on me, you know?
There was no escape.
No phone yet.
There was no escape.
Do it before you have, they have a phone, right?
Yeah. I was
How old were you?
I don't know.
Well, I do know because we got married in 2017. So it was like shortly around there. So you were like a 10 or 11. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's coming up for me. It's coming up.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is like at school, they learn about that sex can make you sick or get you pregnant.
Yeah. Right.
And like, if those are the only two options, why would anybody have sex? Right. if that's it. So, I mean, maybe if you wanted to have kids, but like there's so much more to it. First of all, that's not the case for everybody. And also there's so much more to it. And so I really wanted her to understand her brother was in public school and they were doing a unit on it and they had all these components to it. Justice, respect and pleasure. All these things. I went to Catholic school till college. My first year in college was the first day I had to decide what to wear to school because I wore a uniform.
Oh, and that's
Catholic school the whole way through. So pleasure, please. So I was like, let's cover it all. And let me tell you how families, you know, how babies are made in all those combinations, both men and women together, men together, women by themselves. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how you stay safe, men and women together, men and men together, women and women together, and, you know, women by themselves. And also how you have pleasure in this, right. On all those spectrums also. I kind of skimmed over the men and men part with her, but a little bit. But we talked about a little bit. But, you know, we talked about, like, the parts of your body that bring pleasure, that some kinds of sex don't access those parts. And, like, so you should think of, you know, and that's an important component to it. If it's not bringing you joy and, like, you got to have a conversation.
Right.
And whatever you decide to do with the person you're with, if you feel emotionally connected and you feel you choose that and you feel pleasure and you feel whatever, that's sex. Like, there's no, it's not one thing.
Right.
And so we covered it all. Mm-hmm. And we covered consent, of course. And I also I heavily discussed all that with her brother as well. Her brother had all these conversations as well. So, you know, those things were really, really important. And also, like, responsibility, like, you know, I sent my son is in college down south and it's Roe v. Wade. So I we had this conversation again before he went and I sent him with plan B. And I was like, if something goes wrong, don't cross your fingers and wait 2 weeks. Take, you know, and it's your responsibility to be responsible for you and her or whoever, but Both of our children sat us down and came out as straight. So
that's a whole thing. We're going to ask about that.
Yeah. So, you know, I know that's, but he's prepared if that's not the case. But listen, kids don't get to a moment where they're like heated and the hormones are going and things are going and they say, oh, we don't have the right stuff. Let's just not do it. Like that never happens.
Right.
So might as well, you know, he's gotten condoms in his Christmas stocking.
My mom gave me condoms.
Yeah.
As
you gotta be, you know.
For the record, they weren't actually in his stockings. He didn't like have to take them out of the stockings in front of the grandparents. In his bedroom.
Right, that's right. Because the grand
they were left in the
stockings when the grandparents came.
Santa has a little bit of
For the record, yeah, he didn't have to do that in front of the grandparents.
I didn't think that would go over that grade.
I feel like you really prepared long and hard for this talk, Emma.
Yeah, I was really like, what are the things that I had to figure out the hard way?
Right.
What are the things that I figured out in the field, if you will? You know, like, and I wish I had known. And high school boys, for example, they're not so good at like the pleasure part of it.
Right.
And like, that's important. And
well, because their moms don't sit them down and teach them the spots that matter.
And I was it was very good because we were talking about, you know, little birds by themselves and we were talking about toys and things like that. And she was asking, and I was like, you know, toys that are shaped like the inside of a vagina, right? Like we're going to be sex positive. We're not going to be like toys that are shaped like if you're home by yourself with some toy, it's not because you can't find a man. It's because this is what you want to be doing.
Right.
So we were.
That's a good way of saying that's new. That's new for me. Yeah.
So we covered, we covered a lot of it. And I said, so once in a while, I'm like, I think you're due for a refresher. And she's like, stop. But, you know, they watch.
Poor Delia. I feel your pain, Delia. But also, but it's like, really good. You got a good mom. It's awesome.
Where did
awesome.
I learn this stuff? I learned this stuff watching 16 Candles. There's a lot of problematic
stuff. There are so many problems in that movie. Yeah, like, you watch that
great,
you're like,
but also, like,
I mean, really bad.
Talk about
stuff.
Consent, you're like passed out. I don't know.
Yes,
the 80s and 90 movies were not good. No. So,
And your favorite phrase?
I say this to her, to all her friends. I used to coach her swim team. I would say this when the kids would talk about stuff.
Oh, yeah. We'll be talking about it. Like, someone will be going on dates or somebody will be, you know, texting people, whatever. and she just like will pop up. Like literally she'll just like pop up out of the, like I'm like out of thin air, I swear. And she goes, teen pregnancy is 100% preventable. If you can't talk to your mom about it, you can talk to me. Like just like every time I'm like on the phone and she's like, we'll just like come downstairs and start saying it. And my friend goes, I guess we were talking too loud. And I was like, yeah, I guess
so. Your friend who said she didn't want to have kids. And I was like, well, let me tell you, teen pregnancy, 100% preventable.
She said,
you can't talk to your mom. You could talk to me.
Yeah. So my friend was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to have kids. And so she was like, well, and then we pause and then we both look at each other and we start saying it. We all know it's coming. We've all heard it a million times.
It's good. You have an open mother who is willing to discuss things with you. And
yes,
do you ever hear crazy information from a peer that you're just like, yeah, that's not the way it is? Like, do you ever have moments where you're like, my mom schooled me, let me sit you down and school you
sometimes? Like we had health class last year, and mm-hmm. like I ate lunch last year at like a table of like 14 kids, and like 10 of them were guys. Some of them are so clueless.
Huh.
Like they talk about something and they're like, guys make this joke. I don't know. I haven't experienced it this year, but last year they'd make this joke about November. And November, you can't masturbate in November. It's no nut November. It's a big thing. About it. It's okay. The most stupid thing ever. But they would sit down and they would start talking to each other and they'd be like, have you failed? You know, they're having this conversation. And I'm like sitting there with all these guys and they're talking to them themselves. And I'm like, this is such a bizarre conversation. And they're like, well, you're like a girl, you know, you can't masturbate. And I was like, where are you getting that information? Oh, they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, like, sure I can. Like, I'm not going to sit here explaining to you how I would do it, but like, sure I can. And they're like, what? And then like, they sat down one day and after, because one of them came straight from health class and he would go, you know what I just learned? And I was like, what? If you just learned it, it means you learned it in health class. What did you just learn? And he was like, girls have more than one hole down there.
Oh,
and
my God.
I was like,
they don't know anything.
Like, they were like 15.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I was like, yesterday I heard you this conversation about how you asked this girl out on a date. I hope you figure this out before.
I mean, like, exactly. Like,
I was like, should I warn the girl? Like, I was like, this is like ridiculous.
They
like,
don't know. They don't know.
They don't know anything. And they say things, and I'm like, this is like, I was taught how your body works by my parents. You were not taught how my body works.
I didn't know. I mean, I learned about menstruation from Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which was so outdated. They had the belt. And I was like, what is this belt?
I remember that part of the book. I asked my mom, but I had a really open mother. I remember asking my mom, what the hell? What is this?
Right. Then it comes down to it. And I'm like, there is no belt in this system at all. I don't understand. I still don't totally understand. I was like,
I don't get it either. But anyway, we digress. Yeah. I think that, first of all, I just want to say, you go, Delia. It's amazing.
But like, they just like are sitting there. And I'm like, clearly you guys don't ever talk to girls. Like, I'm like, what?
You like, should like market your services. Yeah. Be like, let me tell you. Like,
have you ever watched that show, Sex Education?
No.
There's a show on Netflix. His mom is like a sex therapist, and so he knows everything because his mom's a sex therapist, and he like makes money off of it. I've never seen the show.
My question is, why is this not the norm? Like in our families, the families that have the two moms or the two dads or whatever else the situation is, it's obvious that something different happened in order to create the family. So we have to have these conversations. It's kind of, we're more apt to have these conversations because it's kind of a necessity for us to explain to our children where they came from.
Yeah.
But why is that not the norm across the board? Why can't, like, why in the heteronormative world is it just assumed that the kids are going to figure it out? Because they don't figure it out.
Queer Family Podcast.
All right, folks. As we all know, it's a new year. And for many of us, that means New Year's resolutions time. And perhaps for some of us who are listening right now, that New Year's resolution might mean it's time to really get moving on that queer baby-making journey you've been thinking about. And if there's one thing I've learned from all the folks I've talked to on this show, you never know what unexpected costs might arise when it comes to queer baby making. Like, for instance, the time my wife and I switched from IUI to IVF mid-cycle and didn't realize insurance didn't cover IVF. That was a hefty bill that we were not prepared for. We had to figure out our money situation really quickly, and our debt at the moment did not help us with that. But if you were to get your debt taken care of before starting the process, that could help a lot. I've got a way for all of my listeners to pay off any credit card debt you have with a low fixed rate loan from Lightstream. Lightstream makes the process really simple, and a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees, which is bomb. And just for the Queer Family Podcast listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/OCT. That's lightstream.com/OCT. Disclaimer, subject to credit approval. Rates range from 7.99% APR to 23.99% APR and include 0.5% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/OCT for more information. Do it.
Love is love is love is love. Zelia, what about, I want to know, like, this is such a, probably a dumb question, and you've probably been asked it, and there's not really an answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's it like having two moms? Like, what's your experience? Have there been any moments where you've had to explain your family, and it was awkward, or not? It wasn't awkward, it's never been awkward? Like, what's it like?
Oh, I explain our family countless numbers of times constantly.
Why is that?
I say something. Well, I, to me, family is like such an important thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm here. Actually, I think she's ditching me tonight. I lied about that. I'm not hanging out there tonight. She's ditching me.
Zelia wants to hang out with you, Emma.
I took her to Ani DiFranco on Monday.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
I was probably the youngest person there by 20 years. So.
Wow.
So I just like talk about it. Like, it'll come up. I'll say something and I'll be like, oh, well, my mom was saying this. And then my other mom was saying this. And they were like, your other mom.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, like you have two
parents.
We
don't use stepmom.
I don't ever use stepmom. I just say other mom. And then people, I'll be like, yeah, I have two moms. And then people are like, okay. And I'm like, to clarify, they're married. And they go, oh. And I was like, yeah, thank you.
Right.
Like I'll say then sometimes people are like, oh, well, that's obvious that they're married. And I'm like, well, you'd be surprised. People don't put it together.
Yeah, the coming out is constant, not only for us, because I'm always still coming out, but it's still, you come out too.
Don't, if I think someone's not going to take care well, which there are kids that I know that I go to school with that I'm like, not even bother with you, you're not going to, I'm not going to win this argument, I just don't bring it up.
Yeah.
I kind of know your stance on the world. I've kind of heard you speak.
Kelly goes to the largest high school in the United States.
Yeah.
So there's like a lot of kids from all different cultures, all different parts of Brooklyn, all different areas, all different parts of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a bubble in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And so it's a reminder that.
Yeah. Like I'll be talking to my family and then they'll ask a question. And I'm like, oh, just, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to skip right over that question because that question is not asked with the intent of you wanting to know. It's asked with the intent of you wanting to judge. And what do I care? You know,
right.
Like my friends at school, you know, they're all great. None of them care.
Delia's out with all her friends. It's very funny. Casey, when his friends come over, he's like, this is Emma. This is Monica. And like, I can see the kids are like,
no, never. Like, seven people are confused.
Yeah, they don't have, and he just doesn't
tell them ahead.
He doesn't tell them anything. I'm sure they're like, are you?
That's what I'm saying is like, I talk about my family all the time. I'm like, this weekend with my family, we went to this and we went to the concert and I had fun. And like, it just comes up in conversation and then kids ask questions. And normally they're very kind about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever had someone be like blatantly unkind, but you can hear it in people's voices that they're trying very hard to be kind.
We
do not actually want to be kind.
Right.
We went on vacation 1 year and we took our son's friend with us. And like a week before the vacation, our son had another friend over and he was like, hey, I heard about this vacation coming up. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, you know, that kid's dad is a Republican, right? And I was like, oh, really?
Right.
So then I said to Casey, I was like, does your friend know that you have two moms? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, he needs to know before we get to the airport. Like,
just in
and
case.
It needs to be okay with everybody. And he's like, okay. And then the mom called me and she's like, hey, we're divorced. Like, we're totally fine. Don't worry about it. Like, you know, his dad has opinions, but like, who knows, but like, have a great trip. Is there anything we can do to help? Like, she was really sweet about it. And I was like, okay.
Right.
I just wanted to make sure that I didn't get to the airport and this other parent is like, wait a minute, where's the dad or what's happening? Right. And, you know, and I was like, oh, everybody
you're
has
teach
to
teach my kid that lesbian sex.
Like, yeah. I was like, right.
You right. Drop him in a park.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk, your kid in the park and talk to him.
Talk about all the different ways.
On the plane where there's nowhere to go, I'm going to be like, hey, let me tell you, Timmy, about the birds and the bees.
Indoctrinate this young man.
Yeah. An ally by the time the trip is over.
Right. Yeah. Right. So what I'm gathering is it's really no big deal for you, Delia.
No, it really doesn't affect my life. I feel like
it's just your family. This is how your family is.
There's a lot. All of their friends are gay. I feel like that, not all their friends, a lot of their friends are gay. So
my
like,
straight friends are going to listen to this and be like,
sorry,
what?
I'm so sorry.
They're going to listen. They're the best. The gays are the best.
Delia goes, don't really care.
Delia goes to this summer camp that's for girls, kids who identify as girls. Mm-hmm. And they have what used to be mom's weekend. And now it's like woman in your life weekend.
Gibson weekend.
And a couple years ago, her cabin had another girl with two moms. And their cabin was like famous because they had the most moms per capita of the cabin. Because we had, and the other cabins were like, what? I only have one mom. And,
that's so true.
Like my friends, like, we'll run, like the first day your parents arrive, it's a big deal because you have all these activities. Your parents show up not late, but just not immediately.
I was late the first time.
Yeah. You show up not late, but just not immediately. Then you go to these activities and all the activities are planned around the fact that you have some sort of adult, whether it's, you know, a family member, an important woman in your life.
So
or
it's
like,
obvious when you're late.
Yeah. So it's obvious when you're late. Right. Or like some sort of, you know, person the camp has, like an alumni who's, you know, more than happy to be there and is excited to be back at camp. But like, we'll be passing someone and they'll be like, I'm like, are your parents here? And they're like, no. And I was like, well, I have two moms. Do you want to borrow one of them? Like, we can just, like, you can have one of them.
She's
I'm going
loaning
to
your moms out. That's
I'm
the
like,
beauty of having two.
I'm like, we're going to like.
But I'm always so grumpy that weekend. Nobody, because
I'm like, well, it's Friday. You haven't started camping yet.
Right.
So
but
it's
you have
like,
to camp. And I love not camping.
They have to, they sleep on an air mattress, like with like a bathroom, like. 20 feet away, maybe.
I love not camping.
And food. Like, it's not camping. Like, she's telling you, like, it's really not. It's but, not like, I'm bad. Like, yeah, we're going to, you know, we're going to soccer. This one doesn't really want to go play soccer, you know? Or we're going to this swim activity. The other one just want to go doesn't want to go swimming. You can have that one.
You take this one. Take this mom from me.
Yeah, I'm like, you can I'm do cool this, with like, that. You know.
I don't really, I mean, we don't, it's not such a thing. Like now we just move as a family, but one of the things that's a little bit like hard for me. So now I, you know, I do these home studies for second parent adoptions and whatnot. And like, we can't do that. She can't adopt them.
Right.
And that makes me really sad
because,
I mean,
because
they have a, they you have know, a second I mean, yes, parent, they have a dad. So like enough is enough, but it's sad to me because, you know, they live with us. She would. Do like she's at work right now helping pay for college. Like she's right, in right. it, right?
Right?
We're in it.
I made her go pick me up in the rain the other day from
yeah. She hates
practice.
Driving in the rain and at night, and she went and picked you up from swim practice. And
yeah,
like
so,
you know
she's
we
a real parent.
Yes, yeah. And she gets all every time they get sick, she gets sick. Like she, you know, she's in it, and it's that part's a little bit of a bummer to me. And actually, a few years ago, you had a lawyer on. And I spoke to him. We were just talking because I do these home studies. And so I reached out to him. And he was saying that Brooklyn is very behind in family law compared to the other. And they're trying all these new things to catch up and to sort of be cutting edge.
Compared to the like, other boroughs or compared to
other parts of New York is obviously ahead, but compared to like Texas and such. But they were saying that. But compared to other major metropolitan cities, New York's family court and family law is behind.
Huh.
And they're making a lot of changes that I see from all my other jobs also, which are great. And they're important changes. You know, now, you know, when you go in to get divorced, like custody starts at 50-50. It doesn't just default and you
doesn't just default to mom
and every other weekend and whatever. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And but he said that there was some talk about having like a third parent adoption allowed. Oh. But it causes a lot of problems because of federal rights of inherit, like she could get Monica's social security, she could get three people's social security, right? And that would mess the system up. So they haven't.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But it would be nice if there was something
that could be just put in paper, yeah, that Monica is a full on 100% parent and recognized by the kids.
We travel internationally.
And, mm-hmm, yeah, and you know, God forbid, mm-hmm, what if something happens?
Right. And so it's funny because, you know, obviously if something happened, my family, their dad would be like, yes, it's okay.
Right.
You know, obviously there would be no fight there, but it would still be, you know, I say to parents who do these second parent adoptions who are like, do we really need to do this? And I was like, look, even if there's like 10 hours where those are 10 scary hours. Now she's 16. But those are 10 scary hours for your little one. Mm-hmm. Where they can't get access to a parent, and that feels kind of scary. And I actually toyed with the idea of, like, I don't know what, now that he, like, her brother's 18, if I could somehow, like, protect, if we all traveled internationally together, if he could have some rights to, you know, he would have rights to her if something happened to I mean, this is, we're talking about, like, if a giant bird plucks me out of the sky while we're on vacation,
right,
out of the U.S. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's most likely not going to happen, but we don't have a way to protect.
Yes. And I tell people say to me all the time, well, second parent adoption is a lot of work. And can't I do this, like, document of parentage? Yes.
Yes.
And I say to them, look, in the U.S., there are 23 states that don't recognize the birth certificate. Mm-hmm. So if you are on the birth certificate and you're married and something happens in another one of those 23 states, it don't matter.
They don't and have to.
Right. And so
acknowledge.
It's smart. It's not about, people think, well, we're never going to break up. And it's not about that. Mm-mm. It's about safety. It's about security. And it's so important.
It's better to be safe. It's just it's just better across the board to always have it buttoned up.
People should do it. Listeners, do it. I know it's a pain. I know it is.
And you know, it took me forever to get it done, but we did it. We did it.
Yes, do it. It's
and
so
as a,
good.
As somebody who does home studies, like, a lot of folks get freaked out by this home study. I lucked out because it was during the pandemic, so we just did it over Zoom, and I, like, walked the computer around. It was amazing. But, you know, everybody gets so freaked out about this home study. Can you ease people's minds on the home study?
So when I do the home study, you know, people reach out to me. I get a lot of referrals from a lawyer who's big in the community, in the LGBT community. So they say, this lawyer has sent me to you. And I say to them, you know, first, I always write back, like, first of all, congratulations on your little one. And I want to acknowledge right up front that this is not something all families have to go through. Mm-hmm. Right. And I just want to acknowledge that there are lots of families, different types of families that do, right? Step families have to, international adoption, but you are adopting your own child. And that's, most people do not have to do that. And I just want to acknowledge that outright. The second thing is, I want this to go through, right? Like, I am going in with the impression that this is your child. Mm-hmm. So not like it's up to me if this is your child, it is your child. Mm-hmm. So I say to them, you know, before I come, you know, you should have window guards because they're the law in New York, and you should have smoke detectors, and you should have a fire extinguisher. And if you don't have those, you should have a letter to your landlords requesting them, mm-hmm, right? I want this to be very smooth and very easy. And it is, you do get into people's business, and I love people's stories. I'm a therapist by trade. So, like, people's stories are so beautiful. I'm so fascinated. I love all the details. And so, you know, of course I'm going to ask, I don't care about the details of your finance. The finances take like 6 seconds, and then I usually call back and be like, I forgot to ask how much your rent is. Like, you know, I forgot to ask if you paid taxes because it's not my priority. But really, I'm going to hear your story. And listen, there's nothing from your childhood that's going to make me think you can't adopt, because this is your child. It's already your child.
Yeah. So it is funny. And I'm recalling all of the things I had to talk. We talked about our family history. We talked about
discipline.
Let's talk about my brother. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember it was like a whole long hour long conversation where we were going deep into the.
For listeners who know, it's a psychosocial evaluation. That's what it is. So it's a lot. But, you know, if you tell me you had a terrible trauma and your parents were terrible, then, you know, that's not going to preclude you from anything. Mm-hmm. Like there's not much. And, you know, and I went to one recently and at the end, the woman was like, well, don't you need to like look in the fridge or anything? And I said, well, I see your child, right? He's like obviously nourished. Like,
right.
He's engaged with me. He's up and walking around. He's running like. I don't need to see your fridge. Like, for one thing, if you don't have food in your fridge today, I know that you're feeding him because
right. We didn't have food in the fridge yesterday. Yeah, I was like, I came home and they were like, figure out dinner. And I was dinner. Right.
So I'm very aware that
But it's a nice thing that you do, you know, and I think that the issue is, and I think where people get all bunched up is, you know, you're reaching out to this random person who's going to perform this home study, and they don't necessarily do what you do. They don't start it out with, first of all, I know not every family has to go through this. First of all, I know that this baby is yours. You have put all your intention into it.
Their baby.
Right? And and that's, I think, the scary thing. That's the scary part. So basically, I think the lesson is we need to have more queer parent home study people.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Like, I also worked, I mean, I was really interested in your discussion about people who went through the foster care system, because I used to work in child welfare, and it was so amazing to me that, you know, they would say, well, the child is four and it weighs this much. And none of us knew what a four-year-old is supposed to weigh, because they don't hire people who have children.
Right.
Because the job is so hard that you can't do the job if you have children.
Right.
And so then they hire people who don't, and because the hours are crazy and you're in the field. So then they hire people who don't have children, who don't know families and children.
Right.
Like, I also know, like, I come to your house and your house is a mess. Like,
I get it.
Yeah. Like, it's fine.
Kids ruin things. They just can't have nice things.
Yes. It's not your fault. I understand that.
I'm a teenager and I still make our house a disaster.
I believe it. I think you're a wonderful, beautiful human being, but I believe that you probably mess up your mom's house.
My shoes are over there.
Monica and I went on a walk the other day, and like a half of the walk, she's lecturing me about like, Delia, it's just so messy. We have to get, and I'm texting Delia. I'm like, I'm in so much trouble because you left your crap all over. I was like, you better clean up your crap before I get home from this walk.
Children are messy. Like, it's.
I also like to focus on how you met, what you liked about each other. Like, a feedback I get with my home studies a lot is like, it was really nice to like replay our relationship to you.
Yeah.
In front of our kids. And like, they hadn't heard that, and how sweet it was, and about coming out and what that was like. And I like it to be like, this is a beautiful picture of this document. There's nothing in here that doesn't reflect the beautifulness of your family. And it is such an honor. I say this to every family I work with. It's just like such an honor to be part of this process of helping make a finish off the family, right? Like, it's your family already, but this is the legal, like, crossing T's and dotting I's. And it's such an honor to just be able to like cross a T for you, because they're a beautiful family. Every time I come home, Monica says, how was the home study? I was like, I wish we could be their friends.
That's how I feel with every episode. Yeah. You know, that's how I feel with every single story I hear on this show. And, you know,
we can be friends.
I know. We live so close. We're going to hang out. We're going to get drinks.
You're going to be like, take Rose for a walk in the park.
I really am. It's time for that talk.
Yeah.
Emma, Delia, you available too? Yeah. You know, I was lucky. I had also a queer parent who I had interviewed, but I also had a queer mom who did our home study, and it eases your fears a lot. So they're out there. I don't think what do you call yourself? Home studiers? I'm going to call you a home studier.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a social worker.
Social workers who do home studies. Like you, I don't think that they're an exception. I think there are a lot of folks who are even straight who get it and are wonderful. So don't be afraid of the home study is the message. And
you know, I started with international and I understand that a little bit better, right? Like this other country is sending a baby overseas and they just need to make sure that it's going to the right hands because there's a lot of dark, but these are very different stories. These are unique. You're already a family. It's sort of a silly idea. So I try to make it fun. I try to make it kind of a warm conversation, right? I tell them not to, they don't have to dress up. They don't have to clean up. They don't have to, you know, the kids, they're long. They take a long time. The kids always get bored and start to act out. And I'm like, that's expected. Like, totally fine.
Happened to us.
And right.
And no matter what you say, everybody's going to light a candle. Everybody's going to clean their kitchen. Like we're all going to go a little extra hard that day, but.
I drink a lot of coffee. I try never to use their bathroom because I don't want them to think I'm like snooping and whatever.
Oh, that's
so by the end, I'm like, okay, I gotta go. Goodbye.
That's so funny.
But, you know, these are just such special families and it's so exciting to, I mean, you talk about, it's just so nice to sell. I try to see it as like a celebration of your family history.
Yeah. Yeah. And our families rock and we're really intentional and we create really amazing human beings, which I'm seeing right here with Delia. So
she's amazing.
It's been such a pleasure to talk to you two and to just like, listen, I always lean in a little closer when I'm talking to the kids because we all want to know our kids are going to be okay. And we're doing everything we can to be open and honest and intentional with you. And when I see that it really works and it pays off, it warms my heart. So thanks for being here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Well, folks, I really hope you enjoyed that episode. I know I did. What a good story. But the conversation is not over, folks. Be sure you're following the show on all the socials. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at the Queer Family Podcast. You're going to get photos of all the guests there, some videos, and just, you know, all around fun from yours truly. Who doesn't want that? Don't miss out. You don't want FOMO. Nobody wants FOMO. And don't forget to join me on Patreon to help me create this super important queer content. You're going to head to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast to sign up and get that bonus content. And one more thing, if you love this show and want to represent your love for us and our beautiful families, you need to head to our shop and get some Queer Family Podcast merchandise. We've got so many designs and you can put these designs on any product in the store. We've got t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, notebooks, face masks, laptop cases. You're just going to go to tpublic.com and search for the Queer Family Podcast. Or you can find the shop on our website at thequeerfamilypodcast.com. There's so many ways, so many ways. All right, folks, that's it for this week. Tune back in next week for another episode all about family, but with gay.
3 inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.